we look at the natural cycles that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created in this universe, and Allah ta'ala has created these cycles and distributed them around the universe. We see all different types of cycles and systems. And to control these systems and cycles and events, Allah ta'ala has given the assignment to the angels. Like, they are the angels who control the water, they are the angels that control the winds, they are the angels that control the oceans and seas. In other words, they are angels that are controlling and coordinating and supervising the systems and cycles of the universe according to Allah Ta'ala's instructions and orders. There's a hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari. In the same way, there are some select and specific angels that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created and assigned, that in this world they wander around seeking the gatherings of Allah's remembrance, dhikr. This is their duty. This is their function. Allah ta'ala has instructed them, go into the world and wander around planet earth and look for the gatherings of dhikr, dhikr majalis. Just like alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah, Ramadan is passing. It's passing. And tonight will be the night of power, the odd night. And every night we should spend with yaqeen, certainty, that this is the night of power. And most definitely, inshallah, most definitely Allah will give the night of power to that person. Don't wait for the 27th night. Rather, every odd night we should commemorate, spend, and have yaqeen, certainty, that this is the night of power, every odd night. We should stay up. Meaning of staying up is that it's a short night. It's only a few hours, or less than a few hours. A person should remain seated, do dhikr of Allah, remember Allah, worship. And this is the meaning of staying up and spending the time correctly. So as I was saying, the angels that have been given the duty, specific duty, this is a hadith of Sahih Bukhari, that they have been given the duty of looking for the gatherings of dhikr. So these angels, they seek out, they look for, they fly around looking, where are these gatherings of dhikr? And it's sad to say that in today's day and age, they have to work hard. They have to work hard, but where can they find the gatherings of dhikr? For this reason, this hadith, where it says that they look for. And when you look for something, you're looking for something, isn't it? When it's less in number or quantity, when it's rare. So what it means are there very few people will remain who will remember Allah. The gatherings are few and far between. But even the people who do dhikr are very, very few indeed in the world. Rather, in the hadith it stated that there will a 100-year phase will come, that in that 100 years there will be nobody who will remember Allah. Nobody who will do dhikr of Allah. That will be the worst generation of all in history. The worst generation of all. And there will be no individual human being who will be remembering Allah. And when that time arrives, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will establish Qiyamah, the day of judgment. Allah will not allow this universe and world to continue. So, as we see the dhikr of Allah, my friends, it's reduced to the minutest amount from our hearts and minds. The desire, the passion to do dhikr has evaporated. That's why Allah ta'ala has assigned a group of angels, just like other angels have different duties. This group of angels has a duty. And how fortunate are those people that Allah Ta'ala is saying that go and look for the majalis of my remembrance. Allahu Akbar. How fortunate are those people that Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala has given us. We're fortunate that in Ramadan, thumma alhamdulillah, Allah has given us in Ramadan the opportunity to be included in this gathering of Allah's remembrance. Think about it. Read the hadith and think about it. Why? It's just like the hadith, that we are sat down, we have no other objective. We've come for this purpose, to remember Allah. Praise be to Allah. Alhamdulillah, not just to us, rather subhanAllah, on air, this live system, everyone else in the world who will be gathered and included in this gathering or join this gathering, they will also get that same reward. So imagine the benefits of doing the dhikr of Allah. So those angels are looking. When they get their majlis, then they're very happy. And after become happy, then they call out. When they get to the gathering of dhikr, they find the dhikr, they call out, just like we're sitting here. Praise be to Allah. Alhamdulillah. So this Masjid al-Falah, where we are. So from here, the angels will call out to the heavens, to the skies. And there in the heavens, the angels are preparing for the night of power. And the other shift of angels is about to come. Jibreel alayhi salam is about to come in some time, after a little while, to the earth with this group of angels. And that group of angels were looking for the gathering of dhikr. Say, oh, we found that group. Allah gave us a duty, a task. We were upset. We were feeling down. We couldn't find people doing dhikr. But there are people in Bolton sitting in a majlis. Alhamdulillah. They are a selected group of people. Allah selected them. They are young. They are old. They are children. They are those about to die. Allah knows when they're going to pass away. They're all sat down this one time. Come, O angels. We found them. In the hadith is stated, then the angels, they fly down. They go and they seek. They glide down. They say, oh, we found this gathering. So many angels come that the gap between the heavens and the earth is filled with those angels that they found the gathering of dhikr. So they surround the gathering and the great blessings of Allah are there. Now, if we have this gathering of dhikr, should we not understand and appreciate? But we don't need to see it. The words that told us is the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's words, blessed. They will, that is more than what we hear and read. That maybe what we see will deceive, but if those blessed words have come from Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's statement, that can never deceive us. So such majalis gatherings we should appreciate. Will we appreciate, brothers? Yes. In Ramadan only or after Ramadan as well? Will you carry on sitting here? Inshallah, yes. Inshallah. Okay. So now, the angels call out, we found the gathering. So all the angels from the heavens, they fly down, they gather, they fill the gap between the heavens and the earth, and they join in the gathering. They recite those kalimats. We do dua, and they say, Ameen. Subhanallah, Allahu Akbar. Tell me, which person is there who's here, whose duas will not be accepted today with this blessing of the gathering? It's good we've come, isn't it? With the fadl of Allah's grace. Look how Allah has been merciful to us. If we didn't come, what could we do? Yes, we could have been deceived, or leave it, don't go, but Allah's karam, mercy, grace, and great, great blessings that He's allowed us to come here. So the angels come, they join in the gathering. When the gathering concludes, then they fly up towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the heavens. They go back to the skies, the heavens, the hadith, the words of the hadith. When they reach to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the dialogue starts with who? Between Allah and these angels. Allahu Akbar. Now, there's a point here that, do you think Allah Ta'ala doesn't know about where they've come from, what's occurred, what we've been doing? There's nothing hidden from Allah, is it? Can our words not reach to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? But a deep, beautiful scene and dialogue starts. Look at the importance of the dhakireen, those who remember Allah. So first question from Allah, where are you coming from? Say subhanallah, subhanallah. Allah Himself knows, and He's asking the angels. So this is a beautiful style of love, that when a person loves something or likes something, he repeatedly wants to hear somebody else, a third party, affirming it. For example, you love your son, so you will feel that others will come and praise your son. Your son is very beloved, very beautiful, very handsome, very nice. It happens, isn't it? So Allah Ta'ala loves so much the dhakireen, those who remember Him, that Allah asks the angels, where have you come from? Allah knows everything. Already they say, Allah, they answer that, Allah, we have come from such a gathering, where you are being praised and glorified, and your jalal, your power and your mightiness was being praised in kalamats of dhikr, and those people were immersed in your remembrance and rejoicing. Let's say, we'll recite, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Is this a small recitation? Small phrase? This is a treasure of paradise. Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel. Is this a small verse? This is greater than all of what the earth contains and the universe. Subhanallah walhamdulillah wa la ilaha illallah wa la. But is this a minor, small verse? Allah says, whoever recites this, he will be far from Jahannam. Jahannam will go far from him. How can that person enter into hellfire? It's impossible. So the angels say, Allah, we are rejoicing. We were included. We joined in that gathering and we enjoyed it. Allah says, is it? Is that the case? Okay. So Allah will say, what were they asking for, those dhakireen who didn't think of subhanAllah? Allah, they were doing, well, were they asking for something, or they just sat there silent? No, they'll say, Allah, the angels said they were asking. Allah said, what were they asking for? Allah, they were asking for paradise. Allahu Akbar. Allah said, paradise? Jannah. So this was their desire and their passion. Have they seen Jannah? And they were asking for Jannah. Have they seen paradise? That, what do they know what is paradise? The angels say, and here a point comes out. A point arises. So we realize that the Ahl al-Dhikr, they are lovers of the Qur'an as well. Ashiq al-Qur'an. Because all of the news and the description of Jannah is in the Quran. And the angels say, Allah, you mentioned in Surah Rahman, Surah Waqiyah, and other surahs, descriptions of Jannah. So they were rejoicing and happy. We'll get this. They're so desperate, the dhakireen, when they sit to remember Allah, then they have no thought of asking for this or that X, Y, Z. They are so enjoying themselves in dhikr. They've detached themselves from the world and dunya. So they start doing dhikr and they ask only Allah for what you have explained about Jannah. Their standards are high. Yes, So after dhikr, or during dhikr, they ask for those things, Allah, and you've made Jannah for them, paradise, and that's what they love. Apart from Jannah, they have desire for nothing else, because they're used to this. That in the world, there's issues and problems and illnesses and difficulties and pain. They're used to this, that this is going to carry on, the world's a waste. What's the point? We have to go to the hereafter. And they know that they're going to reach to the end destination, the hereafter. Allah, please give us, they say, the dhakirin, the angel will say to Allah, they're asking for ease in Jannatul Firdaus. That's what we should do. So another point arises here, is when we ask from Allah, we should ask for those things which are eternal, forever, never will finish, everlasting. And we'll ask for dunya here, those things that will break and cease. Allah say, ask for such things from me. Or when you ask someone else, if he gives to you something, after a while it melts or breaks, what's the point? Like for example, ice. If you ask someone for ice, if you go to Allah's court, if you go to someone who's a big man in the world and you ask for ice, it will melt. So when you go to Allah and ask from Allah something that will never break, never wither away, never evaporate, never will never cease. So a great big dua to ask Allah for paradise. Remember, ask Allah for Jannah. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, ask for the highest grade of paradise. Highest grade. Look, when a person asks for paradise, for the true essence of hereafter, for example, we have illness, problems, difficulties in the world, and they themselves grind away and wither away and evaporate. Allah says, okay, fine, I'll let these problems of the world be gone for you, because you're asking, but they're nothing. Why are you asking for the world? For a few moments, something will happen, you have a headache, oh, I'm going to die. You take the Panadol, paracetamol, and the headache will go. Illness, this illness, after a while, the illness will go. Oh, this is not happening for me, my jobs are not happening, my tasks are not completing. Allah will make them happen. But these are temporary things, and they block us from asking for the permanent things. Such great moments. Today is the night of power. Laylatul Qadr, we ask, well, Allah, give me a shop, Allah, give me business, my business is not flourishing. And what a waste of time asking Allah for dunya in the world. If we get it, then what? No, ask for those things. Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah, that the world is here. It will get it or we won't get it. It's temporary. But ask for the hereafter in Ramadan, ask for eternal benefit and everlasting benefit. So Allah Ta'ala says, it, my angels, they're asking for paradise. Have they seen paradise? Allah will ask. They say, no, Allah, they haven't seen paradise. What if they see paradise? Allah will ask them. Allah, so the first question I've forgotten, but when they say the angels, that Allah, we've come from dhikr gathering, they're remembering you in depth and they're enjoying. Allah said, they're remembering me? Yes, Allah, they're remembering you. Allahu Akbar. Allah will say, is it? Have they seen me? Subhanallah. Subhanallah. That they've left everything and they're reciting my verses, they're remembering me, they're reciting my name. Have they seen me? Have they seen me? Without seeing you, they remember me. And they'll say, Allah, the angels say, Allah, they haven't seen you. Without seeing you, they're remembering you, subhanAllah. And what if they were to see me, Allah says, what if I was to show myself to them? What if I was to remove the veil? The angels say, Allah, don't ask. Then they will be immersed in happiness. They'll forever. And the person cannot imagine that after that, he or she will remember you. So if without seeing Allah, a person is so happy in doing dhikr, then imagine when a person sees Allah. The vision of Allah, how happily he'll remember. So Allah will ask then, Allah ask then to the angels, have they seen paradise? They'll say, Allah, they haven't. And if they were to see paradise, what a great abode, what a great destination. If they were to see Jannah, Allah, they will ask for nothing else. Day and night, their du'as will be, Allah, quickly detach us from this world, take us out from this world, and these challenges, and take us to the akhirah, to the hereafter. They'll be lovers of paradise. Allah says, is it? Okay. And are there some afraid and seeking refuge and protection from me? Is anyone who has fear of the hereafter, that if we do sins and dirty actions and waste time and nonsense talk and don't pray in Salah in Ramadan, if we do silly actions and bad actions, have they got any fear in them that they're going to get maybe punishment? There should be two things in it within us. Two things, fear and also love. If we're asking from Allah, at the same time asking for Allah out of love, we should be crying. Allah, I've got a lot of sins. I can't get forgiven. But it's your rahmah, mercy, that Allah wants paradise from you. And this is the feeling and emotions that should be revolving inside me. Don't be afraid of your sins. Alhamdulillah. Don't be afraid. Don't give up. And don't get tired of asking from Allah at the same time. Yes, because Allah Ta'ala forgives the sins. Don't worry, Allah says. Don't worry. Just come to me and ask, cry and beg. So Allah will say that, are they afraid of anything? Are they seeking refuge? Are they asking for protection from anything? The angels will reply, Allah, they are afraid, they do fear. They are afraid so much every breath that they breathe. They are asking you, Allah, Allah, save us from hellfire. And they're not afraid of anything in the world. Allah, they're afraid. They're la khawfun alayhim. They have no issues in the world, no problems, no distress, apart from your fear, Allah. In their hearts, they have fear for nobody else. This will happen, I'll become poor, I'll die, I'll pass away, I'll get poverty. No, the dhakirin, they don't have this standard. The dhakir remembers Allah, they have one khawf, One fear, that Allah, please, you don't get unhappy with me. That's all I'm worried about. That's all I'm afraid about. Every second a dhakir has a fear, a concern that Allah, please don't get unhappy with me. Don't get unhappy with me. Allah, I want your pleasure, I want your radah. That's the fear and the distress and concern of the dhakir. They know the dhakirin, if Allah's not happy with us, then where will we go? We'll get punishment. So for that good destination, they're always asking Allah for protection. They know there's no guarantee in the length of their life. They have yaqeen in your words, O Allah. They say that this place, hellfire, is the worst of all. They understand that from the Quran. They know the punishments from the Quran. The how the hellfire will burn the person due to his sins. What will be the severe circumstances today for a person? Allahu Akbar. Today if a person does tawbah, repent straight away, Allah says that I've purified you. Subhanallah, how easy this is. How easy this, tell me. So today is so simple, isn't it? And tomorrow, that if there's one sin on our bodies, if there's one sin stuck to our bodies, that person cannot go to Jannah. If there's a sin stuck to his body, he cannot go to heaven. So we've got iman, belief. So Allah Ta'ala, if we waste time today, if we say Allah forgive us, we've wasted time. Big, big sins that were highest mountains, they evaporate, disappear from the body. Immediately, within a second, they disappear due to Allah's permission. And the person becomes clean and pure as an angel. But we're wasting time. We don't do tawbah. We don't repent. Okay, if I've committed a sin, Allah forgive me. Please, Allah forgive me. Allah forgive me. I've committed a wrong. Allah, I've committed a mistake. But shaitan deceives. No, 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 no. Don't ask forgiveness. You've committed a mistake. Khair. No, no, it doesn't make any difference if you ask from Allah. Brothers, don't get deceived. Don't fall in the trap. Even an atom's weight, even a particle of good, Allah will look at. Even a particle of bad, Allah will look at. If there's an atom's weight of a sin stuck to our bodies, you think that Allah says only the hellfire will burn that? And Allah knows how long we'll have to stay in hellfire for those sins to be burned. So we should say today, Allah, please forgive me. Allah, please. Do we do this, brothers? Yes. Do you do tawbah? And this is the meaning of tawbah, repentance. Nothing else. Nothing else. No preconditions. No after conditions. No post conditions. Allah's not demanding anything. Allah's saying just one thing. Accept. You've done a wrong. Allah, I didn't pray salah. I left my salah. I didn't pray to you. Oh, I did a mistake against somebody. Oh, I consumed haram and lawful something. Oh, I've made this mistake. Maybe everyone can commit mistakes, isn't it? The pious elders in our deen have said that after committing a mistake, an error, don't wait. If nafs and shaitan have made you do wrong and you accept it, you've realized it, then too, tawbah straight away, repent straight away. Even if you are going to repeat that sin, don't worry. Don't worry, because you should keep the cycle and system of tawbah continuous. Tawbah isn't astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah recitation. That's not tawbah. That's not repentance. That's doing tasbih. That's doing repetitive adhkar. You can do 10,000 times astaghfirullah. Or if you say, bring the food, bring the food, bring the food. Will your stomach be full? No, bring palau zarda, bring palau sweet rice. Will your stomach be full? If the meat doesn't go in your mouth into your stomach, you can't get rid of the hunger. And if you get the leg, the chicken leg, then you say, enjoy that today. Imagine. Enjoyment. That's when your hunger will go. If you do astaghfirullah, you want repentance. Say astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. That doesn't mean that you've repented. No. Astaghfirullah means repentance. Allah, I'm ashamed. I've committed a mistake. I've sinned. I've disobeyed you. I promised you, Allah, I won't commit this mistake again. Please now forgive me. Allah, please. From above the announcement will come. Go. I haven't just forgiven you. Rather, I've made everything in the universe forget that you sinned. Allahu Akbar. And if somebody calls you a sinner after that, then I'll grab him instead. This is our happiness. Oh, look at him. Look at him. He thinks he's repented. He's kept a beard now and he's praying salah. We know him very well. He used to sin. He was a sinner, big sinner. Do you know he used to do this and he did this and that? No, how dare we? If Allah's forgiven an individual, who are we to say that he was a sinner? Allah says, I've forgiven him. Now I'll grab you and make you the sinner like he was if you are reminding him of the sins or joking or mocking him. Rather, when you see a person like this who was a sinful person, he's changed his ways, he's done a U-turn, and he's good, we should praise Allah. Subhanallah, you are so kareem, merciful. You've changed this person for the better. Allah, change me for the better as well. What difference does it make? Yes, either we make ourselves like him by mocking him, or subhanallah brings us on the level of that person who has repented because we praise Allah due to him improving. So Allah, the angels say, Allah, they were afraid. Yes, from what Allah will ask? Allah, they were afraid of hellfire. Is it? They know about hellfire? Yes, the angels say, Allah, they do know about hellfire. And they're afraid of hellfire? Yes, Allah, they're afraid of hellfire. So if they're afraid, then they will never commit sins, will they? How can they if they're afraid of hell? Allah, can a person who's scared of hell, if someone's scared, will he believe salah? Will he leave prayer? Will he leave Fajr Salah? Fajr prayer? Will he consume haram? Will he take interest? Will he deal with riba? Will he oppress anybody? Will he consume anyone's money? No, talking nonsense. He's not afraid of Allah. Allah will say, those who are afraid of hellfire, have they seen it till Allah? No, Allah, they haven't seen it. They're asking you for your protection and refuge. SubhanAllah, if they were to see it, hellfire, Allah, if they were to see hellfire, they would be really in a bad position. Already he was in a bad position, but they'll be in a worse position. They'll be so afraid. Allah will say, is it? Okay, fine. Then, ajeeb, beautiful statement Allah will say. Allah will say, oh, angels, become witnesses. Witnesses, what I'm about to say. What a great reward is coming. Brothers, listen, keep listen. Oh, angels, be witnesses. That all of those people who are in the gatherings of dhikr, in the majlis, are forgiven them. SubhanAllah. The night of power, before the night of power starts, the forgiveness will come. All of the Ahlul Dhikr, Ahlul Majlis, not just those who are sat here. At that time, Allah said the statement, because Allah knows a time will come, a day and age will come, that millions of people, thousands of miles away, they'll be sat, but they'll be included in this gathering of Dhikr. Such a preparation will be made. Women in Parda at home, children, and SubhanAllah, people in the corners of the globe in the world sat at this moment in time doing dhikr of Allah. So he stated, all of the Ahlul Dhikr are forgiven them, Allah Ta'ala says. Then an angel stands, who say, Allah, I need to give you the complete report. When that majlis was formed and the gathering of dhikr was taking place, a man was walking past that gathering, passing by. He was inquiring mentally, what's going on here? Let me see why these people are gathered together. Are they distributing food? What are they doing? So when he came into that gathering, he sat down and he was asked, he had no intention, Allah, to do your dhikr. But he joined in that gathering, he sat down, SubhanAllah. So Allah Ta'ala will reply. Ah, listen to this statement, brothers. Listen to this reply. Allah's words, great, that the people of dhikr, the people of that gathering of dhikr are so blessed. They're so blessed, those people who sat in the gathering of dhikr. What a great statement. Allah gave a reply. Those people in the gathering of dhikr are so blessed that the person who's just passing by and stopped for a few moments, even he doesn't lose out. He doesn't leave empty-handed. I've forgiven him as well, Allah Ta'ala will say. Imagine this statement. The Ahlul Dhikr are so blessed, so mubarak. So my brothers, tell me if we think for a moment that how much do we do Allah Ta'ala's dhikr? Is there anyone here? Are we like this? There'll be people who have mal and wealth. There are gatherings for wealth and property and discussion. Is there any, if you ask someone, do you know anyone who's a wali of Allah? No, I have no connection with the wali of Allah. There should be nobody in the world who doesn't have a connection with the wali Allah, the friend of Allah. Remember this, because Allah gives a great big guarantee that that person can never lose out. If that human being, that mu'min, that person can never lose out if he has a connection, a link with Ahlullah, with a wali Allah, with the friend of Allah. If he has a connection with the friend of Allah, a connection of friendship, Allah calls out with great, great passion that those people have great blessings. Even if by mistake they sit in the gathering of dhikr, even if by mistake they take all of the hand or come close to those who are the Ahlul Dhikr, the awliya Allah, even that person can lose out. He can now lose out. What does that mean? He will also go into paradise. So my brothers, these are the messages of Ramadan. Ramadan has come. It's passing by. It's passing. It will pass. And it's about to go. It's about to leave us. So the rest, the life we have now and the time we have in front of us, we should try to sit with good people, majalis, dhikr, gatherings of dhikr. Alhamdulillah, wash your sins, purify yourself. And also ourselves, we should learn dhikr from the Ahlullah, the awliya Allah. And after learning dhikr, we should do that dhikr. Will you do this, brothers? Good. Now, we need to learn the manners, the behavior of the majlis, how we should be sat, and we should sit close together. As if we're stuck together, it's a gathering of dhikr, come closer. And don't leave places empty, spaces empty. Come on, get up quickly. Those who are sitting, spread out. I won't start the gathering until we sit as a majlis, a gathering. Don't leave anything, no void, no gaps. First, fill up the space at the front. These are the adab. You're sitting against the manners of the gathering. Someone sitting here, there, sitting lean against the wall. This is not the majlis gathering adab. And those people who have done dhikr for some time, they're doing this as well. This is their bad behavior. When you come, you should sit together at the front. Together, sit together, sit in the front row, close together, so that you have space behind you for the others who are to come up to you. So sad, you don't even adab that. We don't even know how to sit down. That person who doesn't have manners has a bad destiny. Good manners, good destiny. So a person will leave this gathering with nothing. Those in their hearts that don't have the taqaddus, appreciation, greatness and love of this gathering. When a person goes to the Kaaba, then first the greatness of the Kaaba comes into the heart. Isn't it? So every place which is a connection with Allah, if you don't have in your heart the greatness of that place, then you'll not attain anything. Sit with good behavior, you'll have good destiny. If you come to a gathering, Allah's gathering, the angels, I told you such a great hadith, the angels are speaking to Allah and someone sat over there, spread out, leaning against, well, what's happened, brothers? Well, somebody, you've come, then take something with you when you leave. If you've come and you leave empty handed, shouldn't be the case. Shouldn't do this. Come with adab, manners. These majalis, we should sit with adab and good behavior and manners. May Allah give us the tawfiq. Ameen.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. As-salatu wa-salam wa ala sayyidina Muhammad. اے میرے مولا تو ہمیں معاف فرما دے, اے میرے مولا ہمیں معاف فرما دے, اے میرے مولا ہمیں معاف فرما دے, یا کریم ہم پہ رحم فرما دے, یا کریم ہم پہ رحم فرما, یا کریم ہم پہ رحم فرما, اے میرے مولا ہماری عبادت کو قبول فرما لے, اے میرے مولا ہماری عبادت کو قبول فرما لے, اے میرے مولا ہماری عبادت کو قبول فرما لے, اے میرے مولا تو اپنے فضل کرم سے ہم سے راضی ہو جا, یا کریم تو ہم سے راضی ہو جا, یا کریم تو ہم سے راضی ہو جا, یا کریم تو ہم سے راضی ہو جا, اے میرے مولا ہمیں جنت نصیب فرما دے, اے میرے مولا ہمیں جنت فردوس نصیب فرما, اے میرے مولا ہمیں جنت فردوس نصیب فرما, اے میرے مولا ہمیں جنت فردوس نصیب فرما, اے میرے مولا ہمیں دوزخ سے بچا لے, اے کریم ہمیں دوزخ سے بچا لے, اے کریم ہمیں دوزخ سے بچا لے, اے میرے مولا ہمارے سارے کام بہتر فرما, اے میرے مولا ہمارے سارے کام بہتر فرما دے, یا میرے مولا دین اور دنیا کے سارے کام بہتر فرما دے, یا کریم تو ہماری ساری دعائیں جو ہم نے ذکر کی حیثیت سے مانگی تو ان سب کو قبول فرما, ہمارے ماں باپ کی بخشش فرما, ہمارے مشائخ کرام کے درجات کو بلند فرما, وصلی اللہ تعالیٰ علی خیر خلقہ محمد و آلہ و صحبہ اجمعین برحمتک یا ارحم الراحمین, سبحان ربک رب العزت عما یصفون, وسلام علی المرسلین, والحمد للہ رب العالمین. All right.